Are you ready to make a financial change? Then check out the Financial Freedom Community. This is your one-stop for free resources to help you get out of debt and grow your wealth. Check it out at financialfreedomcommunity.com and join the growing list of people achieving financial freedom today. Are you feeling down or sick of work? Then don't go anywhere because today's episode will help you learn about who you really are and how to make the necessary changes to be happier. This is episode 57 of the Financial Freedom Community Podcast. Welcome to the Financial Freedom Community Podcast. Are you ready to break bad habits, pay off debt, and change your life? I am Joel Parker, your financial freedom partner, and I am here to provide you guidance every single week. Let's get started. Today we are hanging out with Andrew Fichter. Andrew was your typical American stuck working from a cubicle every day, but he wanted more and decided to give it all up for an opportunity to be happier. Andrew inspires others to change their life at the blog Shift Upwards. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Hi, Joel. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
I love your story. It's truly inspiring as someone who's been in your shoes. Can you go ahead and share your journey to how you got to where you are today?
So I guess I will just start back around the beginning of 2005. So I graduated college at the end of 2004. I was a super senior for one semester. So I graduated in the winter of 2004, and I went straight into full-time work in my field after that. So I had a degree in information technology, and I went to a career fair hosted at my school and got a job and went straight into that job when I graduated. And then from there, I kind of just stayed on that career path, and I pretty much was employed all the way from 2005 until I left my job in last September, so September of 2017. So it's about 12 years, almost 12 years of full-time consecutive work in the IT field. And in that time, you know, once I started working, that's when I started to take an interest in personal finance. You know, at the very beginning of my career, I wasn't as into it. I was still in that mode of hanging out with my friends and prioritizing my social life. So personal finance really didn't become an interest of mine until around 2008. And that's when I started actually taking the initiative to seek things out. And, you know, I knew that I was always decent with my money, but I never really read about what to do with it or didn't really inform myself as much. I just never spent more than I earned, but I wanted to take things to the next level. And so around that time, I discovered the blog, The Simple Dollar, written by Trent Ham. Actually, I think this was around the 2010 timeframe. And really, his story is the kind of was like my gateway into this whole personal finance world. And from there, I opened up an account with Mint and started tracking my spending and started reading other blogs, picked up some books. One of the big books I read was Ramit Sethi's book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And, you know, I just thought it was really awesome how we talked about automating your whole financial infrastructure. And I took a great interest in that. And from there, then I discovered the financial independence movement. I think Mr. Money Mustache was my intro to that around 2011. And I really stepped things up from there. And, you know, leading up to that, I kind of put things into place. I had opened up a Roth IRA. I was doing a lot of smart things with my money. But then I was really able to put my savings into overdrive by the time I discovered the whole idea of financial independence. And then my plan at that point was just to keep working and achieve financial independence and then figure out what to do with the rest of my life. And then, you know, in the years that ensued after that, obviously my plans changed even more, which brought me to where I am today, having left my job.
That's awesome. What inspired you to look closer at personal finance?
I think my background in information technology kind of informed my interest. You know, I always liked IT. I mean, kind of automating systems and understanding how systems work and understanding how things work behind the scenes. And I kind of brought that same interest to personal finance. And I think that's why with Ramit's book, you know, where he talked a lot about automating your savings and automating your investing and putting automated systems in place, it really spoke to me because that was something I was interested in and just living efficiently and automating things. That's what I did at my job. So it was kind of like a natural thing for me to pick up, and I was very curious and inquisitive about it. And I just kind of became hungry for more information and hungry for how things worked. I mean, I didn't just stop at investing in an index fund. Like, I also wanted to understand, how do index funds work? How does the stock market work? You know, I read books about investing, and even things, even though I'm not like an active investor, I do all my investing passively, just wanting to know how everything works. And I just loved reading about it and learning more about how things work. And, you know, so I think it was just always just something I was naturally curious in.
Two things that you said that I want to focus on or highlight is, one, automation. Paula Pant talked about how automation is really the key to it all, because if you don't automate it, then it just won't happen. You know, making things easy so you don't have to think about it is so critical. And so I think that that's awesome that that played a role in your journey. And then number two, curiosity. I think it's so many times we're curious about something, but we don't take the next step to learn about it, or we just check the Wikipedia page and take the 30,000 foot view and then move on. And so I think that's really interesting that you following your curiosity and then following even more so, you know, because as you learned, you became more curious about different areas, and it created this like spider web to get you to where you are today. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of digging deep into things kind of gives you a bigger picture understanding, and it even gives you more confidence in the direction you're taking, because a lot of the common advice is just to invest in an index fund, and it's not bad advice to follow. But if you just stop there, you might not have as much confidence in your direction personally. So I think the more you know, the more you can kind of inform your own path and make your own decisions, and, you know which advice to take and which advice to not take. So it can be really powerful.
I think that's huge, because you don't want to just follow someone off a cliff. If your investing guy says, well, these are what you need to invest in, why? Does he even know the reason that he's making these recommendations, or do you know the reasons you're going to take this advice? And I think that that's huge, because you don't want to follow someone's advice off a cliff. I mean, there's so many things that can happen, and informing your own decisions so you can be wise enough to react appropriately is huge. Especially in the internet world that we live in, where there's 40,000 opinions at a Google search.
Yep. So it can be really easy to just take the path of least resistance and just follow some high level advice, because there's so much information out there. You know, it can be just the thought of even educating yourself can be exhausting. So yeah, a lot of times it's easy to take that path.
Now, you quit your job, which is awesome. Congratulations on that. What was it like to take that leap and really leave your job?
Well, I think it was one of those things where I couldn't really comprehend what it was going to be like, just because it was such a drastic change in my life. You know, like I had said, I had been working full time for 12 years, went to school and then went straight into full time work, and was kind of living the typical middle class American life. So it seems really exciting, the idea of quitting your job. But because it's such a huge thing, you can't really even comprehend what it's like until it comes. And, you know, I've told a story before about the first weekend after I left my job, and my wife and I went out to the mountains and hiked. We stayed at a bed and breakfast, and it was a Labor Day weekend of last year. And then it didn't really hit me until we were coming back that I wasn't going to be going to work the next day, not until the end of that 3-day weekend. And then when the week came around, and, you know, we got up in the morning on Tuesday morning after Labor Day weekend, and my wife Anna was off to work, and then I was just realizing that I wasn't going to work, and I had the place to myself and all this time on my hands. And I mean, I had done a lot to try to prepare myself for that. Like, I definitely knew what I wanted to pursue. I had a list of things to try to fill my time with. But until it actually happens, and you're so used to having this rigid structure in your life, and then you don't, I think it's just natural to have some time where you're going to be settling into it. You know, so I think at first, I kind of thought I was just going to go straight into things, like just all of a sudden have these structured days and be doing all these things with my time and just jump straight into it. But really, I think it took at least 2 months for me to process this drastic change in my life and to make sense of everything, because it really is kind of mind-blowing to all of a sudden not be employed, and then to not be employed by choice also, which is obviously a very fortunate position to be in and something that I don't take for granted at all. But yeah, it was just a big culture shock on many levels.
What did you do to prepare for this jump?
Yeah, so it was actually, there's quite a backstory there. The whole process of getting to the point of leaving my job in September of last year kind of started in March of 2016. So this whole process played out for about a year and a half. And back in March of 2016, my wife and I were both having rough stretches at work. And, you know, we were kind of sharing our frustrations with each other on a daily basis, or, you know, like coming home from work and just being like, yeah, we're not really happy with our jobs, but, you know, what can we do? And then a few things happened. One week in March, I mean, I can actually remember this day specifically. You know, like you just have days that you can go back to and remember everything that happened. And those are days that are really turning points in your life when you look back at them. And it was a Friday in March of 2016. And I, like I said, we were both already sharing frustrations with our jobs. But a few things happened on this particular day where things just boiled over. I had a couple really negative interactions with one of my bosses. And one of the projects I was working on was really starting to stress me out a lot. And so I had a really rough morning and I was like, okay, I need to leave the office. I need to go for a walk. And fortunately, my wife, Anna, actually happened to be in the neighborhood near my office that day because she was having an offsite meeting down the street from my office. And we ended up meeting up for lunch. We had coffee and we were talking about things. And we were both like, you know what? Like, we don't have to be doing this. Like, we've both been not happy with our jobs for a while and we don't have to just accept this as the status quo. And that's when the idea of taking a year off, a sabbatical to travel together came up. Like we had this idea, you know, like we could actually leave our jobs and travel for a year. And over the next couple of weeks, we really sat with that idea and started to make sense of it. And we're like, you know, we really can do this. It's something that can happen. And by the time April came around, we had a plan in place. We were like, you know what, we're going to leave. We're going to take a year off and travel. And so starting in April of 2016, we put that plan into place and we had a departure date of May 2017. So we gave ourselves a year to save up and to plan everything. And things really fell into place. I mean, everything was going perfectly. You know, we were saving, we were planning our itinerary, we were talking to people who had traveled, we were learning all about it. And then my wife, unfortunately, Anna, had a recurrence of thyroid cancer, which she was originally diagnosed with in 2015. So she was diagnosed with this cancer in 2015. She had had surgery. Things were caught really early. It didn't really seem to be an issue that was going to come back, but it did come back. And it came back right before we were going to leave our jobs. So that was just a huge whirlwind. I mean, that just kind of threw everything completely upside down. You know, at that point, our travel plans were canceled because our priority at that point became her health and health insurance. She had really great health insurance through her job. So the summer of 2017, last summer, from May until September when I left, was probably one of the most stressful periods of my life because I had all the stuff happening at work. We had been planning to leave our jobs and I was mentally prepared to leave my job in May. And then the health issues came up, which obviously were a huge stressor. And that just kind of piled on top of the work stress I had, plus readjusting my mindset to having to stay in my job instead of leaving. And so I took the summer to really reflect on things. And my wife, Anna, and I talked a ton about it and kind of settled at the point of like, you know, I'm going to leave my job in September. So we obviously had all the money saved up already since we had been planning to travel. We had each saved up individually. So I had saved up enough to live for a year. She had also saved up enough on her side to live for a year. So it was really easy at that point to make the decision to leave my job with everything that had been going on and the conversations we had been having and already being in a position financially where I could do it. So it was a huge evolution of things that happened over that 18-month time span. But that's kind of where I ended up and how I came to the point of leaving in September.
How is your wife doing now?
Yeah, she's doing good. So fortunately with thyroid cancer, it's a very treatable form of cancer. It's not very aggressive. The prognosis is really good. So, she had her second surgery to remove a couple of microscopic instances of the cancer that had been left after the first surgery. And since then, things look good. I mean, she's looking great. She's feeling great. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's always going to be a gray area because we just don't know what's going to happen. Even if something does happen, you know, like I said, fortunately, it's a treatable disease. But it's just something we're going to kind of have to keep dealing with.
Well, I'm glad she's doing all right. I didn't realize that about thyroid cancer. So I guess of all the cancers they have, at least that's the better one.
Her doctor actually, when she was initially diagnosed with it, her doctor said it was the Cadillac of cancers. She
gotcha.
Was like, if you're going to have any kind of cancer, this is the one you want to have. you could argue if a Cadillac is a desirable car, but but hey, I get the idea.
All right. So what has your life been like since you left your job?
I mean, it's been great. You know, as I said, there was that kind of period of adjustment there, just having to find my rhythm and find out what was working for me and kind of experiment with things. But, you know, since then, I've kind of hit my stride a little bit, and now I'm used to this day-to-day life. And I've been able to do pretty much like everything I wanted to do. I mean, I wanted to have time to exercise or more time to exercise. I wanted to have more time to ingrain myself into the communities that I want to be a part of. So, you know, one of those is the blogging community and the personal finance community online. So I've really been able to make a lot more connections there, and I've been a lot more active in the community, which has been great. I mean, the whole personal finance community is very supportive, and there's so many people sharing inspiring stories and who have different perspectives to offer. And, you know, everyone's always challenging each other to be better. So that's been amazing. And, you know, I've also just been here in DC. I've been meeting other like-minded people and hanging out with them here in DC. You know, I have a friend who works from home full time. So he and I actually meet up and co-work together during the week, which is great. You know, it's a good way to get out of the apartment and have some social time. Tons of, in DC, I mean, it's a very active city. So there's all kinds of events happening all the time, and a lot of them are free. So it's really easy to get yourself out there and talk to people and find like-minded people. So I've made a lot more friends that way. And then also I've had more time to volunteer and give my time to causes I care about. So I've been doing some more of that also. So yeah, exercising, focusing on some of my creative endeavors, meeting people, building more community around myself. So yeah, those are all the things I wanted to do. And those are all the things I've been able to do since I left my job. So yeah, for sure. Definitely happier. You know, I'm not carrying around the day-to-day stress and anxiety about my job that I had. I mean, I would bring home work with me a lot when I was at my job. A lot of times I would lose sleep over it. It always, you know, it'd be one of those things where I'm checking email in the evening, responding to emails, worried about possibly getting called in the evening, all those things. So it was hard to really have a balanced life and to dedicate mental energy to the things that I care about, which now I have a lot more space to do that. So definitely happier since I left my job.
That's awesome. I actually just a couple weeks ago removed my work email from my phone because it got to the point where it was stressing me out just seeing the email icon. You know, I didn't even know looking at my phone if it was a work-related email because I have my personal email and my work-related email, but it just was stressing me out just even the potential that it was a work-related email. So I actually just removed that email altogether from my phone. So I understand where you're coming from. What impact has that had on the rest of your life, your financial life, your personal life?
You know, it's had a lot of interesting both ways. I mean, in terms of the financial impact it's had, it's funny because back when I was working, you know, I was really completely driven by the whole pursuit of financial independence. So, you know, every week seeing or every couple weeks when I got paid, you know, seeing my net worth go up, seeing my 401k balance go up, watching my automatic investments happen, all that was really like what kept me going. So the whole adjustment to now not getting paid was that was something I had to process. But now that I'm used to it, it's actually pretty interesting. I've kind of found that I still feel the same, you know, like I don't feel overly stressed out about money. In fact, even 8 months into my I guess I'm on my 9th month now since I left work, I don't feel super stressed out about the money situation. But I think that's because I was already in a good situation to begin with. You know, I was already well on the path to financial independence. So this wasn't at all a move that I just made willy-nilly or without really thinking about it or preparing for it. So, I mean, I'm still comfortable with my financial position. So, yeah, it's been kind of interesting to learn that about myself. And then in terms of my social life, you know, that it's been good in terms of just being able to meet more people and have time to do things without having to think so much about it. You know, if I want to go to a baseball game on a Tuesday night and hang out with a friend, I can do that. I don't have to worry about getting up early for work or worry about having work to do that night or anything like that. So it's a lot more flexible with my social life. And then even with my wife, it's been a really good learning experience for us, because obviously with her working and me not working, that creates a whole new dynamic at home. So there's been lessons learned there. You know, we've had a lot of discussions around handling chores and handling grocery shopping and balancing the expectations with that. From her perspective, it's easy for me to take on all those things since I have all this time. And then from my perspective, I'm like, well, there's other things I'm trying to do. So how am I going to be able to do these things I want to do if I'm expected to do all these other things? So, you know, we've had a lot of really good discussions about that and really gotten more onto the same page. But yeah, so I think it's been a good a good challenge for our relationship also. So yeah, multiple facets there.
The grocery shopping and chore thing is interesting. My wife and I go through that essentially. You know, I work from home and I enjoy getting out of the house for the exact reasons that you said you love your co-working space, the social interaction. And so I like to go do the grocery shopping, but like you said, it's time consuming. And so, you know, I have this like ongoing internal battle with myself, really, of, you know, go grocery shopping or accomplish another to-do item. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where my wife is just like, stop going grocery shopping. But,
nice.
You know, because, yeah. You know, we can do it on the weekends when we're both off and doing our thing. So, but, you know, I understand where you're coming from. It is kind of, you know, this ongoing battle of, you know, the perception that you have the time to do it. But then in reality, you really don't have the time to do it because your life, though maybe at home, it's still structured around the idea of, you know, creating an income.
Yeah, and actually something you just said kind of resonated with me also about just, you know, you like to go grocery shopping, so you can do it, and sometimes you have to tell yourself not to. There's a lot of things like that in my day-to-day life that I notice that I kind of become distractions, really, so that I don't have to focus on some of the harder things. Or like, you know, maybe if I'm trying to get writing done and I'm having resistance, I'll find these other things to kind of give me an excuse not to have to worry about the writing. You know, like I will just start cleaning things up around the house, you know, things like that. So yeah, definitely. It's interesting to notice those tricks that your mind can play on you.
Absolutely. You mentioned writing. I know writing played a big role in your life. And continues to, especially journaling. Do you want to dig into that and talk about what role that played?
Yeah. It's actually, it's pretty cool because it's one of those things where you really don't even understand the benefit of it at the time. I think it's really easy when you're journaling or writing in general, just to tell yourself that it's not going to make a difference or like, you know, am I ever going to go back and read what I wrote today? Like, how is this going to make any difference? But I think really, it's kind of like investing where you start, you know, it kind of pays dividends years and months down the line just by writing and reflecting on what you're thinking or what you're feeling or what's going on with you and getting that down. It just helps you to become more introspective and to understand yourself better. And, you know, it just makes you more self-aware, which makes your life better on so many levels. So I think instead of being focused on the immediate payoffs of it, which can kind of maybe take away motivation from doing it, it's better to understand that you're kind of planting seeds or, you know, you're by doing your writing, you don't know how it's going to pay off in the future in any way. I mean, even if you're just writing in a notebook and no one's ever going to read it besides you, it could still help you in ways that you probably can't comprehend right now.
How do you recommend someone begin journaling? I know there's like the 5-minute journals out there, and then there's just kind of like the freehand. I mean, what way do you recommend or have you found works best for you?
I mean, in general, my advice for things like that is to not complicate it, because I think the more you try to find a specific method or like read up on all the different methods or read up on, you know, should you do it on your computer? Should you do it, you know, handwritten? Should you do it one time a day? Should you do it 2 times a day? Like all that, like, and all these different opinions and different methods and things to stick to, it can kind of just confuse you and make you not really sure what to do. I think just to start simple and say, you know what, I'm going to write every morning. Like when I get up in the morning, I'm going to spend 20 minutes writing in my journal before I can open the computer or before I can check my phone, seeing how that works for you. And then kind of just feeling it out from there. I think it's best just to start small and see what works for you personally.
What should someone be journaling? I like that idea of waking up first thing in the morning before this crazy world has clouded your judgment and, you know, getting your thoughts on paper. But what should someone be journaling?
Really anything. Actually, I can't remember off the top of my head which book it was, but they talk about this whole thing of what's called quote unquote garbage writing, where you just open up a journal and you just write 3 pages of content. It could be stream of consciousness or, you know, maybe if there's something specific on your mind, you can write about that, but really taking the pressure off of what to write about. I think that's another thing is, you know, you don't want to complicate things and you also don't want to be putting a lot of pressure on yourself. So yeah, even just stream of consciousness style, you know, our minds are on all the time. We're always thinking something. So there's no shortage of thoughts to write about. And it's actually pretty interesting what you can see happen once you start writing your thoughts out. You know, maybe you'll start picking up on things or start honing in on something that you didn't even know was there.
Do you look back at your journals and start to connect the dots of where things should be going?
Definitely. Yeah. Like even going back because I have some of my old journals from way back, like 10 years ago. And I remember 10 years ago was a time in my life where I was starting to be interested in these alternate life paths, but I had just bought a house, you know, I was single. So I had a lot of time to really reflect on those things or to write about what was going on with me. And to seeing some of the things that I was writing back then, and then seeing where I am today, I can definitely see the beginnings of that path that I'm on. So yeah, it's interesting going back and seeing how things all lined up for you.
Steve Jobs said during his famous commencement speech, and I forget at what university it was, but he said that, you know, life is all about when you look back, hoping that the dots connected to create the path that you wanted. It's so interesting how, you know, all these jumps that you make, you know, might seem crazy or seem logical at the time. And when you look back, they all have a meaning.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And I think it's also very freeing to realize that too, to kind of know that where you are today is where you're supposed to be in some ways, you know, and it kind of takes some of the pressure off yourself.
Well, I think that's huge. And I overstress myself out pretty much all the time and overthink things. And I think it's interesting to think about that one small decision isn't going to be the make or break in your entire life.
Yeah, I do the same thing, though. I definitely stress myself out and overthink things also. So, yeah, I know what you mean.
Now, on Shift Upwards, you talk about exploring yourself, obviously. We've talked a little bit about that and the importance of self-discovery. Do you want to dig a little bit deeper into that?
What it comes down to is living life with a sense of curiosity about anything. I mean, about yourself or about specific topics that you want to know more about, and even about more existential things too. I think just always asking questions and wondering about life and wondering about what you're doing with your life and what you want from your life is really important. And, you know, I would say reading is important because it opens your mind up to different perspectives, or maybe it'll even open up a path that you didn't know was there. I don't know, like if I didn't read certain books or blogs early on, I don't know if I would even have ever taken an interest in personal finance the way that I have. So I would also say following through on your interests, you know, just try doing the things that you think you enjoy. So if you think you would like to start a blog or you think you would like writing, then try it out. You know, start with some of the journaling habits we were talking about, put your thoughts out into the world and see where it goes and see if it's something you enjoy. I mean, maybe it's something you won't enjoy, but you won't know that unless you try it. And then also just the process of trying it could open up so many other doors. I mean, it could put you into contact with people who might open up a whole nother path to your life. So, you know, definitely following your interests and then talking to people and getting out into the world. You know, find people doing the things that you think you'd want to do. Talk to them. Find people who share similar opinions to you. Find people who maybe are interested in things that you're interested in at a very high level, and just learn more about those things. Always be learning, really. You know, remember that you're not your job. I mean, it's so easy to be completely consumed by a job and forget to prioritize yourself. So, you know, like I was saying earlier about when I was working and I was bringing work home with me a lot, and I was checking email in the evenings and worrying about stuff, worrying about deadlines or what I was going to do the next day. You know, a lot of time, all that was floating around in my mind, and it's hard to really prioritize yourself and to take interest in these other things. So I think it's really important to give yourself that space and the permission to really explore yourself.
Yeah, I think in today's world, it's critical that you give yourself that space. I mean, it's almost gotten to the point where there's just this understanding, you know, an unspoken understanding that you're going to be available to work 24/7. And that's not fair to you. It's not fair to your family. It's just not how you want to live your life. And it can be very easy to get trapped in that mindset and that, you know, outlook. And so I think what you said is it's important to really take a step back and focus on yourself.
Yes, definitely. Yep. And then the other thing is even if you get some space from your job or from work or from the mental stuff that's going on there, a lot of times then you fall back onto something like social media or just TV or surfing the web. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with those things either. I mean, I think it's healthy for anyone to relax and to have those things to kind of just decompress completely. But if you start falling into those things habitually, where you're spending 3 hours in the evening on TV or watching TV and surfing the web and checking social media, then you know, that's valuable time you could be spending on some of these other things. So I think a lot of times people say there's no time in the day or there's no time in their life to really give themselves the space to follow through on these things. But I would just challenge people to look at how they're spending their time and really see, just like the advice in the personal finance space is to look at where you're spending your money, you know, look at where you're spending your time and look at your habits and see if there's any adjustments you can make that would free up some space for yourself.
Yeah, I think it's important. You have to be intentional about all of this, whether it's your work life, your personal life, or your financial life. You know, it doesn't just fall into place. And so, yeah, if you're just mindlessly spending or mindlessly, you know, watching TV, then you're essentially just spinning your wheels and nothing is going to change. You have to be intentional and take that next step.
Yep, exactly.
You know, if you're miserable in your job, go read a book, go learn a new skill or a new trait. That all adds up and allows you to take the leap that you took, Andrew. And you know, if you do love your job and you want to grow in your job, then also go and do it. That's how you get a promotion. The always be learning is so critical.
Yes. Yep. Always be learning. Always be following through on things you're interested in. Even if it's something that you don't know will pan out, just follow it. See what happens. Always be learning and always be curious. Those are two pieces of advice like that overall that I would say would help anyone make a big change in their life. It all starts with that. Learning and being curious and having a desire to keep doing it.
Now, you obviously we're having a lot of tough times at work and then obviously Anna's cancer. How did you get through those?
Well, like I said, last summer was really challenging. And it's interesting looking back on it and seeing how, I directed a lot of my stress onto my work. I think it was already a stressful situation at work. And I'm not going to, like, there's no denying that. No matter how you frame it, it was a stressful situation I was in at work. And I was working on a project that wasn't, it was just a mess of a project that wasn't really adding much benefit to anyone. So it was really kind of soul crushing. You know, it was like all this tedious work, lots of work. And at the end of the day, it wasn't really creating a benefit. So it was like the ultimate thing where it's just like soul crushing, basically. But I directed even more stress onto that through what was happening with Anna and in my personal life at the time. And I think things really got blown out of proportion to the point where I couldn't manage it anymore. So, yeah, just looking back on that and even, you know, now that I've stopped working and seeing how maybe some of the things that I was blowing out of proportion weren't so bad. I mean, there was definitely a lot of good things about my job, and it kind of has led me to appreciate those things a little bit more in a strange way since I've left and I've had time to reflect on it. And I think that would help my mindset. You know, if I go back to another full-time job, you know, it would really help bring a fresh perspective to that.
Now, what are your future plans? What's next?
I'm really interested in freelance writing, and I'm trying to push myself a little bit more with that because there's definitely like a blueprint to success with freelance writing. And so I'm trying to just put myself out there more and pitch people and talk to people and tell them that that's what I want to do. So that's a hurdle I'm trying to get over, just a personal thing. But I think also just with my situation and when I left my job, I really gave myself a lot of cash cushion. Which I think has maybe in some ways made it easier to not put as much pressure on myself. So I'm trying to learn from all that and work through it. But also in terms of just, I'm not opposed to doing IT work. And in fact, there's one position that I'm pretty interested in right now, which would be full-time remote. And it would be doing work that's a lot more aligned with the kind of IT work that I want to be doing. You know, at my last job, the work I was doing wasn't really the kind of work I wanted to be doing. So I'm pretty excited about that too. And if I get this full-time work at home position, then I'll still have a lot of the flexibility to keep writing and keep doing these other things I'm interested in. So I'm pretty excited about it. So yeah, I'm still kind of keeping an open mind about the future, solidifying where I want to go or where I think I'll end up. But it's refreshing to not feel like I have to rush into something just because I have to.
It's the greatest feeling right there. Greatest feeling.
Yep.
So you mentioned blogs and books were critical to giving you the knowledge that you have. What books and blogs do you recommend?
Well, let's see. I've actually been reading recently. I'll just talk about some books I've been reading recently. I read one of Cal Newport's books, So Good They Can't Ignore You, which is actually, I think, a lot of really important advice in that book, just about how to approach career and work and mindset around your career and your work, and even kind of addressing some of the common narratives around finding your passion that are so prevalent today. and reframing some of those narratives. So I think that really helps bring a fresh perspective. In terms of personal finance books, I mean, there's Your Money or Your Life, which I think that book is just life-changing. And that's a book that anyone could pick up, even someone who just does not know anything about personal finance. They could pick that book up, and I think it could reframe their whole outlook on life. I mean, I know that's a drastic statement, but I think it's true. I think there's so many things in that book that you can pick up and learn and apply. It's just kind of mind-blowing. And in terms of blogs, you know, there's so many personal finance blogs. I mean, a lot of the bigger ones, Afford Anything is a big one that I like a lot. I really, really like Paula Pan and her outlook and her story. I think her story is really great. One thing that's pretty nice right now in the personal finance space is there's a lot more female bloggers who are sharing their stories. And, you know, it's not so much the very male-centered stories that are very similar, I think. A lot of males working in technology kind of have that, you know, high-paying tech jobs, and they are pursuing financial independence, and I definitely fall into that bucket. But I think it's nice to have a fresh perspective. So there's all kinds of blogs being written by women that share really nice perspectives, I think. One of them I like is Montana Money Adventures. That's one I've been reading a lot lately. So that's written by a woman out in Montana. Just the advice she gives and the insights that she has are really powerful.
Well, it's been awesome, Andrew. I really do love and recommend Shift Upwards. It really is, you know, it focuses so much on shifting your mind and preparing to quit your job and, you know, really improving your life and your outlook on life. So I really love Shift Upwards and recommend it. And it's truly been a pleasure to sit down with you today, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I appreciate you bringing me on.
Any last words? Where can people find you?
Yep. So I have my website is shiftupwards.com. I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter handle is shiftupwards, and I'm on Facebook also at shiftupwards.
Since sitting down with Andrew, I have already implemented some of his suggestions, such as journaling, into my own life, and I have already seen the positive gains. I encourage you to implement Andrew's advice and check him out at Shift Upwards. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you check out the financialfreedomcommunity.com. This is your place to get free resources that'll help you continue to work towards financial freedom and grow your wealth and get out of debt. That's financialfreedomcommunity.com. Also, go ahead and click subscribe. That's going to tell your podcast player that you want more of this great content. And that'll ensure that every time an interview goes live, it's delivered directly to where you listen to podcast episodes. Also, reviews are incredibly helpful. They give me insight on what I need to do to make sure that you are being served. So leave a review on iTunes, and I read through all of them. Until next time, my name is Joel Parker. I am your financial freedom partner, and I cannot wait to see you around the community.